Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bets today. We're also brought to you by IPVanish. IPVanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to ipvanish.com/SGP. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. And of course, make sure to check out our new Discord server. It's the perfect place to interact and sweat out your bets with the entire SGPN crew. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to another action-packed episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 179. I'm going to send that out to someone from the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, our Discord channel. Make sure you go in there. This one's going on to Searching for Profit, who looks like he had a very good night with the picks last night. Most of us degens in there did not have a good night. At least speaking for myself, I did not have a good night with the picks. I would be the one and only Jeff Chalks Fox. I hit all my chalky. The only picks I hit were the chalky ones. I did not hit any of my underdogs. So I guess I lived up to my nickname there. One man who did not hit much of anything picks either side of the ledger, plus or minus picks. Dogs or favorites, yet he's still known as the Gumby God. It's the one and only Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
What's up? I'm going to send, I know you're the one who gets to decide who we shout out to, but shout out to Scott T. Holmes, too, who joined our Discord this week. Yeah, we always want to shout out the new people, and he's making massive parlays, so exactly the kind of degen you want in the Fight Channel one.
Exactly.
Massive parlays. And yes, I usually try to put a positive spin on this, but I had a lot of people let me down. Although I will say this too, like two of the dog picks I was the most comfortable with actually were winning their fights, or at least I think were winning their fights until they took weird body TKOs.
It was really a night of body TKOs. Yep.
Yeah, it was. There were two body TKOs on guys who were at the very least even in their fights and looked like they had a good shot at winning. That was kind of a letdown, because that would have completely turned my night around. And also, I was positive in recommended plays again.
He was. I was gonna say.
I got back up. I think it was like +$5. But you know, yep,
he squeaked by. A win is a win. Especially when you're losing on every other aspect of your picks. So we probably should jump right into this epic mammoth event. After I tell you about our friends over at WynnBET, of course, make sure you get down on Wynn's Bet $50, Win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. And if you're betting baseball, you have to check out WynnBET. The reduced juice in baseball games makes them the best place to bet MLB. And if you listen to this on Sunday, I think there's still time for this. The ultimate fantasy football experience. Bet $500 or more on sports casino before July 31st. I think that includes July 31st. So you should be able to do it today if you listen to us right when we drop this. You can get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club. Include your two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. That would make you a legend. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from. And all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That is sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bets today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I already told you about our Discord. Make sure you get over to the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. That's where all the cool kids hang out now. We have lots of fun in there. And when you are online doing all that, make sure you are using IPVanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like 89 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button. You're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Something that did vanish last night was some of my profits on the year, at least in terms of picking every fight. I'm still up in the positive though. So let's dive into UFC 277, which went down in from the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. You can get the attendance, the gate, fighter payouts, all that stuff on my MMA site, moneymma.substack.com. There, cheap plug. I worked it in seamlessly. All right, main event: Amanda Nunes, as we hoped and predicted, beat the piss, as Dan would like to say, out of Juliana Pena. Unanimous decision, 50-45, 50-44, 50-43. We had Nunez at minus 290. Sadly, the number was quite high, despite her losing her last fight to the very same person. It seems like the consensus is, and I tend to agree with it, Nunez won, but main takeaways is she still fought pretty dumb, and Juliana Pena is pretty terrible.
So I don't think she fought dumb. Like, and I've seen a lot of takes that I think are heavily guided by Joe Rogan's. And listen, I'm not one of the people who talks constantly about how terrible Joe Rogan's commentary has gotten in the last 5 years, but it was downright awful for this main event, because like, if you know anything about jiu-jitsu, if you've like practiced jiu-jitsu before, and I don't mean to like knock people who haven't, like if you haven't to the naked eye and you listen to the commentary, that's fine. None of her submissions were close. I mean, there was like one.
Oh, yes, they were, Dan.
No. There was.
She had it.
And the funniest thing too is that like he kept calling out those omoplata attempts.
Yeah.
And like, I am positive. I wasn't positive after the first one, but after like numbers 3 or 2 through 7, Nunes knew she was going to go to that and just used it as a way to pass. She was almost like baiting Juliana Pena so that she could pass the half guard or pass the side control. And it worked fucking every time. Like the one arm bar where Amanda Nunes had to step over the head was like, kind of almost that was enough that like a commentator could yell and not look like an asshole, but like all of the other submission attempts were not close. So like, I know every single time people were like, oh, it's so stupid for her to go to the ground, that's where Pena is the most dangerous. It is where she's the most dangerous, but she wasn't dangerous. I thought Nunes fought a very smart fight. I think she looked great. Dana White said at the post-fight press conference that Juliana Pena is headed off to get plastic surgery because her face is so fucked up. Like that was a great showing by Amanda Nunes. And I will say this too, her counter left hand, was it the left hand that she was hitting from the left-handed stand, or no, it was the right over the top because she was in the lefty stance for some weird reason. Where she was just pitching. Yeah, and she was just popping Pena with that punch. Like, dude, she made great adjustments. She floored Pena, three times?
In one round.
And then again, another round, four times, I think she had for knockdowns. I mean, she got a 50-43. Like, to say she fought a dumb fight at 50-43, I think is just crazy. I think she put on the performance that I expected. I also said, you know, like, up front to take the over. I was all about this fight being, you know, I think I even wrote it into that props article that went up on SGPN about like take the over, because women's rematches and title fights tend to go over. And like, not only did it go over, it went all the way to decision. So it panned out exactly like I thought, but I reject the notion that it was dumb game planning. And I'll also say this, I keep seeing the hot take out there that like, this is one of the best women's fights of all time. This was a fucking savage beating. Like, this was not a good fight. Like, and again, I think some of that is that if you think that Juliana Pena's submission attempts were close, it does look like a back and forth fight. They weren't. They were never close. Oh, sorry. I'm really fed up with I'm fired up about people thinking Pena had any kind of decent moves in this fight because she looked bad. She got demolished in every second of this fight. I saw somebody posted on Twitter. I can't even remember the user, but I just had to like close the app. Wrote like that fight was just like Volkanovski versus Ortega. And I was like, no. I was like halfway through writing a response, and then I was like, I gotta close this app.
Yeah,
I can't argue with somebody who actually believes that, because like Ortega, great submission attacks, actually had, you know, like Volkanovski making gurgling sounds. Juliana Pena, one half-assed armbar and nothing else. But props for Nunes. And you want to know what the best part of this fight is, though?
What?
The best part of this fight is nobody is calling for the trilogy.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, something that I think hit me last night, and when you're talking about the commentators, hit me, reminded me again. UFC color commentators are basically casual fans, especially Joe Rogan at this point. The way they talk about fights, Rogan was, and Cormier not as much last night, but Rogan was still talking about, well, she got a takedown that round, so she probably won that round. Like, she, there's still like rooted in that, in those old mentality, which has not been the case in scoring for years already.
Well, and I'll also say this about Rogan too, and this is the part that bothers me about him. And again, I'm not one of those people who just like hate on his performance every single time, because like I do think he's really fallen off. But the biggest problem in why he's fallen off is that he goes into a fight with a narrative.
Yeah.
And then he makes the fight match that narrative no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's clearly not happening, he like, you know, like he goes into the fight being like, this guy's gonna tire out. And even when he's not tired, he talks about how the guy's tiring out. In this fight, he wanted Juliana Pena to have some massive jujitsu advantage, and she didn't. She didn't have a massive jujitsu advantage. In fact, she was out of her element on the mat with Amanda Nunes. So like, but he continued to talk about how good her jujitsu was going, and it was going terribly. She got her head split open like a cantaloupe. Like,
yep. And then the other thing that got me was in the prelims when Cormier was shocked that someone knew enough about a prelim fight to bet a whole bunch of money on it.
Yeah, that dude. And that's going literally on about your it. Job. Like, it's know, literally like, your you, job to do that.
You're a casual, basically. Most of the people in our SGPN Discord would be way better at color commentary than anyone UFC rolls at, well, especially people who roll up for the pay-per-view.
And if they're not better at color commentary, they at least have more knowledge about these prelim fights. You know what I mean? Exactly. And that was crazy, because it's like, how could you know enough about it was
Jocelyn Edwards, I think it was.
It was Jocelyn Edwards, who has been in the UFC since 2021, January of 2021.
Now?
That was her fifth fight. Fifth fight in the UFC. And she was in LFA before that, which is basically it's basically a UFC property at this point in time.
Yeah.
So, like, you could have seen her fight there, too.
You probably could have seen close to, 10 of her fights, maybe, by this point? If it was your job to actually know about these people, like the color commentator's job is supposed to be to know about these people, and they hardly give Anik any time to talk to, which is the one that actually knows stuff. So
yeah, he shared a whole bunch of his like note cards prior to the fight, and I was like, show me Rogan's.
Yeah, exactly. Anyhow, this isn't a dumping on the commentators podcast, even though it could be. It's just that those things jumped out at me. So the part I would have preferred Nunes just to stay standing, like every time she knocked you down, immediately back off, tell her to stand up, instead of like kind of kicking her and giving her time to recover. That's I know I'm not a fighter, I've never been a fighter, but that's a pet peeve of mine, how fighters either they rush in after they hurt someone, they rush in and get themselves clinched, or they'll like play play footsies with the person while they're on the ground instead of telling them to get back up. They probably can't even stand up, a lot of these people. They're only able to stand up because you've, you know, kicked their legs for a few seconds and let them regain their senses. But anyhow, I wish Nunez had just kept working on the feet, and she probably could have knocked her out, I think, instead of going to the ground and giving her the slight chance that she may have had pulling off a Hail Mary submission.
Yeah, I think I would have liked to seen her back away right away. It probably would have been more demoralizing to
for sure.
Because there's one more narrative before we move on from this fight that, like, they were all over that, like, Juliana Pena has a better mindset than Amanda Nunes.
Have you heard some of the things she says?
Oh my God. And you don't even watch The Ultimate Fighter.
No, like, I don't.
My wife, like, just shares all of the, like, cliche ass things that Juliana Pena says to her fighters in between rounds on The Ultimate Fighter. And she was saying them at Juliana Pena while we were watching the fight.
What a fantastic wife you have there.
It was so funny. Juliana Pena always says to one of her fighters when they get cracked in a round, and they get back to their corner, "You are in the thick of it, my friend." And it's like the cheesiest fucking line. And so, like, my wife just every round, "You are in the thick of it, my friend," to Juliana Pena. And it was so good.
Mrs. Gumby's got to be fun to watch fights with, for sure. So what's next for Amanda Nunez?
It really does sound like the UFC, I think it was the journalist Matthew Wells, who works for Junkie, I think he asked Dana White how he felt about Valentina Shevchenko getting a third crack at her, and he seemed not opposed to it. Nobody seems to be suggesting Juliana Pena for a third time, which I really, 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 really appreciate, because we don't need to see that again. It's gonna look like the second one, not the first one. I don't mind her against Valentina Shevchenko while we wait for Shevchenko to find a challenger, you know, which might be Manon Firo if she gets past Caitlin Chokagian. And that fight got delayed a little bit. I think it's in Abu Dhabi now instead of France, because one of them needed more time. I can't remember which one. But so, yeah, like, I don't mind that. Ketlin Vieira is coming off of a win over Holly Holm. She wouldn't be the worst option. But yeah, like, I don't know, just a new challenger.
You forgot about featherweight, Dan. We have a whole division that she rules over that she hasn't defended her belt in ages.
Danielle Wolf. One and oh, Danielle Wolf.
That sounds good. And if you want to see why we're happy Juliana Pena is not going to get another shot, just go to the SGPN MMA Twitter account, and Gumby put up a very nice video of her, like, flailing, like it was a school kid fight that you see on YouTube or something. So
it looks way worse.
And then she immediately got dropped.
It looks way worse than, like, I would say 99% of the people in the Discord channel probably shadowbox.
Yeah,
I give all of them better shadowboxing than whatever she was doing in that one sequence. I'm not saying she's that bad, but, like, in that one sequence.
Well, we were bad in her next fight. We whiffed on a underdog, Kai Kara France, but we were hoping he had a shot. But Brandon Moreno is still world beater, apparently. At least he showed he was last night. TKO, body kick and punches, shut Kai Kara France down with a kick to the liver, followed up with some punches. Round 3, 4:34 into the round. I think the main takeaway here is Brandon Moreno has not been damaged from his trilogy with Deiveson Figueiredo. He's still, if not the best flyweight, the second best flyweight in the world.
I have a question. So, first of all, yes, did you happen to see the judges' scorecards on this one?
I saw you posted them, yeah, and they were all over the board.
Yeah, somebody had two rounds for France.
It was a draw, wasn't it?
It would have been 20-18, an 18-20, and a 19-19. So literally all different combinations.
Okay. Yeah.
Every judge had it in a different realm at the time. I would say this. Here's my second question about this fight. Did Brandon Moreno look leaner than he usually does?
I didn't notice. I know you like checking out guys' bodies. I didn't notice.
I do. But, like, I thought when he came out, I was like, he looks, like, wirier than he usually does. And I could be wrong, but I almost wonder if he is doing something working, because he works with James Krause now. He doesn't train in Mexico anymore. And I almost wonder if he made a conscious decision to be faster, because I thought he looked much faster than he usually does, because I expected him to be the slower striker against Kai Kara France. And I don't think that was the case.
Yeah, the food in St. Louis or in Missouri is definitely worse than New Mexico. I will give it that, right? So maybe that's the case.
maybe he's just eating
stupid more, American food, not delicious Mexican food.
What's the big food in St. Louis? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
Probably barbecue something, right?
Yeah.
St. Louis probably. Barbecue a thing? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's okay. So anyhow, Kaikara France, he looked all right. Like he looked fine, but
yeah,
a different level. So, it was a worthy swing. It would have been a big hit too. It was what, +170 or something like that? We had him on, I think. So.
And back to my original point, I had he was up on the judges' scorecards or at least one of them.
Yeah.
And like looked to be rolling. So like I don't mind a play where the guy was doing the thing that I thought was going to get him to win. And takes, you know, a very tough liver shot. You know, that's just it's a little bit of a bad beat.
Yep. And then I lost my other underdog. Dan lost in his as well. Sergey Pavlovich, TKO punches 55 seconds in the first round over Derek Lewis. Yes, it was in hindsight, I'll say it was a early stoppage. But I've mentioned my opinions on early stoppages in the past on this show. It basically is just the fight would have ended a few seconds later anyhow, more often than not. Because the fighter in the advantage would have just swarmed the guy and laid him out even worse if the fight hadn't been stopped. You can't really, especially heavyweights, it's not really a good idea to drop face down to the canvas after getting a barrage of strikes and thinking the fight's not going to get stopped. So even if your name is Derek Lewis.
Yeah, and I think we all give Derek Lewis a little bit more leeway because he has recovered from so many of, you know, big shots before, and he's got power even after he's been stung. So it's like, it sucked to see it end like that. I do think he was with it enough that he probably could have worked his way out of it, but you know, like it like you said, it is what it is. They're good. That, you know, Dan Mergliotta, right? Dan Mergliotta is a good referee. It was a bad look, so he had to stop it when he did. Unfortunate though, because you know, do you feel really good about Pavlovich now?
No.
Do you think he's like
not
world
really.
Leader? Yeah, like
not yet. I'm not at that stage yet. So
he's gonna go up the rankings and probably be fighting a Surreal Gane next, or you know, like somebody in that, or Curtis Blaydes. Him and Curtis Blaydes maybe.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I
don't think it would. I think he'd get his head bounced off the.
I know. Hopefully it's good odds for Blaydes for us. So
yeah.
I'm thinking that aspect. Maybe we make some money off that. So. We whiffed on that. We did not whiff on the next one. I was talking about the best flyweights in the world. This man could be the uncrowned flyweight king of the world. Alejandra Pantoja, submission neck crank over Alex Perez, minute 31 in the fight. If you didn't see the fight, he being Pantoja, swarmed Perez right from the get-go, backpacked him standing, and then neck cranked him standing and won the fight and won us -175 money.
Yeah, I know. I think a whole bunch of people in the Discord too had the submission prop, which was anywhere from +300 to +450, which in retrospect seems, dude, that's just it's a wild move. He looked great. And I do, you know, I think I put it on my Twitter. I think Alejandro Pantoja is the best flyweight in the world. I think he'd beat Moreno. I mean, he did beat Moreno one, and I think he'd beat Figueiredo. Hey, did you hear the this is a pre-fight note? Did you hear his one-liner from the press conference?
It was something about having kids or something like that.
It was the best. So they asked him about whether or not he felt slighted by not being in a title fight when the title fight on the night is two people he's beaten. He said, "No, I'm a proud father, and this is great for my kids." And just said it like completely deadpan, and it was like the only question anybody asked to Pantoja the whole press conference.
Yeah, he low-key has some personality, and he's a damn exciting fighter. So it's kind of sucks though the way flyweight division is laid itself out right now. It depends. If Figueiredo is going to be out for a while, then maybe it will work out well, and Pantoja can fight Moreno, but. If it's going to be Reno and Figueiredo part four, then Pantoja's out in the cold.
Yeah. And the way that Figueiredo came into the cage afterwards and was there with his title and,
ready.
Yeah. And Moreno said something about, we'll run it in December. And it seemed like it was almost already agreed to. Also shout out to Davison Figueiredo for wearing a sweater with the logo off of the cologne bottle from Anchorman, the Black Panther. Like, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't see that.
Dude, you're going to have to Google it because I'm pretty sure it was the logo from the bottle of Black Panther from Anchorman, but I don't think he knows it was, but I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, so that means December too. Pantoja's definitely out in the cold. So what are we doing with Pantoja then?
Man, maybe Kaikara France.
Yeah.
Like I know it seems dumb, and he's already beat him once. But like, what other options does he have at this point, right? Like, I mean, Askar Askarov.
Yep. Manel Cape. Rush him up.
Ooh, yeah, but like, what a.
He's already beaten him, actually. Sorry, he already beat him.
In that really lackluster one, right?
Yeah. That's the thing. Flyweight's not deep enough yet.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I guess you could rush, but the problem is like, you could rush somebody up to fight him, but like, dude, how effed up is it that you're gonna do that to a guy who like looks like he's better than the champs? You're gonna ask him to fight like an up and comer and defend his spot? I get, you know, like. I mean, I guess he could fight somebody like Matthews Nicolau, or I mean, Matt Schnell's coming off of a big win, and he would just absolutely tool on Matt Schnell. I don't know. It's hard to say like what Pantoja should do next, but my goodness, he's steamrolling people.
For the children, Dan. So whatever's best for the children.
He should do what's best
for the children. All right. I'm typing that in because that may be the title of this episode. We'll see if anything else funny comes out of one of our lips before then. All right. And then we start things off with our favorite fighter. I'm starting to like him even less. I think you're rubbing off on me here. Magomed Ankalaev, TKO punches Anthony Smith 309 in the second round after Smith apparently injured his leg and kind of was a wounded warrior at that point. But he wasn't winning the fight to begin with. So I'm still not super impressed with Ankalaev, despite him actually probably getting the biggest win of his career at this point, but whatever. We got him for big money though, unfortunately. Big number.
It's not, and I feel like we've been saying this a lot over the last few weeks. It's one of those wins that doesn't feel like it does anything for him. Yep. He was expected to win. I mean, he looked good enough. He was winning, but like also like beat up a guy who seemed to have hurt himself maybe. Yeah, it's hard to say where he got hurt in. He didn't look great. So, whatever. Book him against somebody next. I don't care.
Perfect. Book him against somebody next. If Ankalaev like fights like that and goes for the kill more often, then I'm all for it. But doesn't seem to be the thing he isn't always doing. So
anyway, put him in with Volkan Ozdemir. He fought boring as hell last time too.
Yeah. So that was the main card. I hit three, Dan hit three. We neither of us made any money off of that. So actually, did we make money off it? No, because we missed two. So so we lost money in there. Don't worry, there's more losing money coming up after I tell you about our friends at Dave. Speaking of money and losing money, if you are in a rough shape after last night as well, Dave may be the place for you. If you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggling to make ends meet, it can be really stressful when unexpected expenses come up. Now Dave can help you out of a pinch when you really need it. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, or catch up on bills. You can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. There's no interest, no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch, need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. It's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member of FDIC. Future, you will thank you. All right. Our past us was not very good for present us with their picks last night. Semi the Jedi, Matthew Semmelsberger. Dan was talking about how he was bigger and longer and stronger and harder and a whole bunch of provocative words in the Discord, but it did not come to pass. Alex Moreno looked very, very good. Summersberger used the force in the third round, but it was too late by then. 29-28, 29-28, 30-27, despite he didn't even win the last round on one judge's scorecard, despite using the force.
Yeah,
he had to use the force because he only had one eye at that point.
That was a weird judge's scorecard. He definitely won that third.
We had a bunch. Sorry to interrupt, but we did have Texas was doing the Texas
thing. Texas was texting.
Scorecards. it didn't end up biting us. Like all the right people won, but there was some very questionable cards I thought we were going to get bit on in the end. Sorry, go ahead.
There's one I'll excuse a little bit, which we'll talk about in a bit. But yes, that one was weird. Morano just looked fast. This is another one of guys whose hand speed and footwork suddenly surprised me. Not that him or Moreno are ever particularly slow, but both looked like they had made huge leaps in between their last fight and now. So, you know, good for Morano. Morano, like, that dude is low-key put together such an impressive career. He's now won 4 in a row. And granted, not against, like, the best level of competition, but, like, 4 in a row now with a win over Semelsberger is, like, man, he's putting shit together.
Yep. He was, I was considering picking him, and then the chalks in me got the best of me, and I went with Semelsberger. So I'm glad I went with Drew Dober. He pieced up Rafael Olivas, who he gassed out Dan. He must have big muscles because he got tired. KO punched to the body, round 3, minute 30, and Olivas was very fun up to that point in spurts when he had the energy, but Dober pretty much wasn't as fancy as Alves, but pieced him up nonetheless.
Yeah, I don't think he pieced him up. He was losing that decision, if I'm not mistaken. He at least badly lost the first round. The first round went to Alves. I'm gonna get the scorecards for sure. But I thought Alves was looking really good. And was like putting things together quite well. And then just to see again, another body shot kind of took him out of there. He was really elusive too. That's the thing that was most impressive about him is he seemed to just be like literally avoiding everything that Dober was throwing. Yeah. Alves won the first round on 2 out of 3 judges scorecards. He did not win the second round. So yeah, it was all tied up going into that third. And I thought, you know, with the way when he turned it up, he was clearly winning fights. So, it was weird to see him turn it down, especially cause he didn't look tired and we've seen him go deeper, but, you know, props to Drew Dober, who continues to be like one of the tougher dudes out there.
Dober was, it wasn't just, I don't think that was just one body shot that did him in cause he was working the body, throughout the fight too. So. I think it tired out Alves plus who knows. He was hitting him with leg kicks to the body, so perhaps that softened him up for the fatal blow, but I'll take it. I will take it. Next fight we whiffed on, but it's heavyweight, so whatever's gonna happen. Hamdi Abdulwahab looked much improved. Still didn't look amazing, but looked much improved from the clips I saw of him. Beat Dontell Mays, split decision 29-28, 28-29, 29-28, Dontell Mays. Bad fight brain.
Yeah, I will say this though. I this is one of the ones where I'll excuse the judge who gave it to Dontell Mays. I scored it for Abdulwahab as well, but like in that third round, Abdulwahab had the takedowns and like lots of control time, but didn't do a ton on the mat. And then Mays hit him with some hard shit when he got back up. And granted, he wasn't up for very long. So I can see why a judge gave Mays the third round there. I don't think I would have, but like I definitely see a path there. I think this is one of those cases where, like, Abdulwahab is just going to get smoked by anybody with the slightest bit of wrestling defense.
Yeah, hopefully do you not agree he looked better, at least from what I saw of his past fights? He seemed to look better. Not as wild with the striking, at least.
He did. His right hand and is still, like, a little bit, like, just kind of – he doesn't throw any strikes very tightly. And that's why, like at heavyweight, I think he's toast, right? He's a shorter guy who overextends himself on punches, tries to use like big swoopy punches to try to get in on takedowns. And like that doesn't work. You just get knocked out at heavyweight because big dudes knock you out. And Dontell Mays almost did that anyway. Like if he didn't rush in and wind up in a clinch, he probably would have.
That's the thing. That's what I complain about. It happens too often with fighters. They rush in and like if you're having success from range, then why would you rush in? Stay at range and piece the guy up, especially when his eye was Hamdi's eye was obviously compromised. If he had been a bit more patient and fought smarter, it seemed like he could have put him away. Actually, he probably was too patient at that point, but I just mean if he had kept striking at range, he probably could have put him away. But nonetheless, it didn't happen and we lost. But people have been cursing Dontell Mays in the Slack because of that. Then in the opener, Drakkar Klose Orclosa, he came through for us over Rafa Garcia. 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. Close continues to roll. We had him at minus 230.
Yeah, I mean, not much to say about this one other than he looked as good as I thought he would. Rafa got a little bit working with like a surprise takedown in the second, but apart from that, like, apart from that, that like kind of, you know, well-timed takedown that got him some top control time, like pretty much what I expected, right?
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. And then in the early prelims, Michael Spider-Man Morales came through for us. Adam Forget About It was tough. Definitely the game. Definitely kind of interesting striking style. Kind of herky-jerky, does weird things with his head. Want to see him fight again in the UFC because he definitely was game, but Morales is just too good and too young and too big at this point. TKO punches 109 into the third round.
So I pulled up the judges' scorecards. Did you know Morales lost the first round?
Really?
Yeah.
All of them said that?
Two out of three gave it to him.
Wow.
Two out of three gave it a Fugit or a Fugit. So, yeah, like that dude clearly has got a future in the UFC. It's too bad his debut had to be against Michael Morales, a guy who is as tough as he is and is as good as he is. But like, it's also worth noting too that like not a lot of people who take short notice debuts are like already prepared physically that they can actually make their real weight class. Cause that Fugit did that. Like Fugit made 170 and that's where he usually fights. So I think that probably had something to do with how good he looked, but at the end of the day, like he did a lot for his stock in that fight.
Yep. Yep. For sure. So we have Morales at what, that was the biggest favorite of the night, I believe. Minus 600. Yes. We had Jocelyn Edwards minus 130. That was before she missed weight. Lucky we made our picks before that, because I probably would have gone off that pick because this fight was kind of a toss up to begin with for me. But Edwards came in overweight and it didn't matter. The overweight stat that I like to spit out all the time did not come into play last night. Both fighters that came in overweight won their fights, including Jocelyn Edwards over Ji Young Kim. She was just too big and too long for her. Leg kicks were basically the name of the game for her. Split decision though, 28-29, 29-28, 30-27.
Who the hell is giving GE on Kim that first round? That's
Jong, I think, in the chat was doing it.
That's such a
he had a lot of money on her, I think.
It's such a bad scorecard. Like, I don't think she won any rounds personally. I think I gave it 30-27 to Edwards, but like, I can see how you give Kim the second. Like, if you want to give her the second, okay, give her the second. She didn't win the first.
She's better than the second than the first, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But like, she didn't win. So, pretty bad performance for her. But that's kind of what you'd expect for somebody going up to 135 pounds to fight a woman who's already too big for 135 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, three straight losses for Kim or something like that?
Four, I think.
Four, yeah.
And not against great opponents either. No. Like the Molly McCann is good, but then like Priscilla Cachoeira and Jocelyn Edwards.
One win in her last five fights, and that's Nadia Kassim. Who dat is what brings, and she missed weight in that fight as well.
She's that Australian lass who goes by the fight nickname 187. I think it's 187 is her fight nickname. Do you know why 187?
187 because she murders people.
Yeah, it's the police code for murder.
Yeah, exactly. I listened to a lot of rap growing up, so I know these things. So Kim's probably bye-bye. I think she's the only one we've fired so far. I don't think anybody else is going to get fired at this point. She will.
I mean,
Dontayle
Mays' record doesn't look great. Right. I know he had won two in a row, and he looked pretty good against Josh Parisian, but he didn't look good when he beat Roque Martinez. I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, all right, I think I've had enough of Dontayle Mays experience. But like she's the only one other than that.
Yep. This is the podcast where we fire people for on behalf of the UFC because they don't want to be the bad guy. Light heavyweights, Nikolai Nogumaranu was the bad guy for us. He beat Ihor Patiera, TKO punches and knees, 3-33 into the second round. He dominated the whole fight. Made Ihor into the sad donkey that he is.
You want to talk about somebody getting tired in a fight. Talk about this guy.
Yeah.
Cause he looked tired. He looked like he did like had a terrible weight cut or something. And it's funny. Cause like the broadcast barely mentioned that he looked tired in there. They mentioned once that he was breathing with his mouth open, and they talked like 82 times about how like Amanda Nunes looked tired or something like that. And I was like, come on, like she doesn't.
Yep.
Pulteria did.
Yeah. Nikolai is what, three straight fights, four straight wins, three or four straight wins now. So he's, it's light heavyweight. So, hey, you never know. We could have a contender here. Orion Kosuke missed weight. Luckily, I stuck with him. Dan had the other side of this one, Blood Diamond. And Orion Kosuke beat him 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. Blood Diamond, a.k.a. Mike Mathitha, is not UFC caliber at this point.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. But, man, he was just defending one takedown away from beating Orion Kosuke. So, if you're saying that, it's a pretty condemning view of Orion Kosuke, too.
It is.
Because he pieced him up in the second.
But, yeah, it's like Diamond. Yep. When he got his chance to kickbox, he kickboxed. So, maybe he should go back to kickboxing. Because now he's 3-2. Like, 3-2 fighters should not be in the UFC.
Yeah,
unless they're like world beaters in some other sport. I know he's good at kickboxing, but he's not like a world renowned champion in another sport. So he probably I know he's friends with Izzy and all the city kickboxing people, but yeah, he needs more seasoning.
I agree with that. Yeah, it's like a different animal than like Carlos Ullberg, who's at because Carlos Ullberg's kind of the same boat, right? He came to the UFC at like 2-0 or something like that. But the difference with Carlos Ullberg too is he's at a weight where you can sort of like get away with being kind of one-dimensional, right? Like light heavyweights can get away with being one-dimensional. We just watched Nikolay Nurmagomedov win a fight. So, but like you can't do that at 55. There's just no leeway.
Welch weight, but still, yes, no leeway 70. There either. So.
Yeah.
So I went 8-5. I lost 144 bucks. Dan went 6-7, lost 453 bucks. I'm still at 67% on the year. I'm still up 1200 bucks, 4% return on investment. So I'm still doing okay. Dan 58%. He dropped 1% there, down 2000 bucks. And he's going to tell you there's still time.
There's still time.
All you need is four or five weeks of what you did last night on the other side. You have to win about 500 bucks a week for 4 weeks and you're in. You're good.
I can do that.
Yep. Recommended plays. Dan did much better. 2-2. He had Close. He had Pantoja. He whiffed on KKF, Kai Kara France. He whiffed on Alves. So 2-2, up $5, $522 to be exact. He's at 48% on his recommended plays. And he's down 150 bucks. So me, I went 3-0 again. I figured this out. Just take big favorites. They weren't all huge favorites, but I had Close, Pantoja, and Morales. 136.85. So on the year, I am at 62%, 166 bucks up, 7% return on investment. So I'm making some hay with my recommended plays, but yet Dan is still the god, and I am a mere mortal. he also whiffed on the superfan Hungry Man Jong superfan parlay. KKF via KO did not happen. Poitier versus via KO did not happen. They didn't even win. So.
I should have stuck with how I was feeling about Pantoja submissions.
Yes, you should have. So anyhow, that puts that event to bed, but the UFC rolls on, of course. And we've got another fight night coming up this Saturday. We actually do have a week off in a few weeks, but not this week. We've got UFC and ESPN, Santos versus Hill. Thiago Santos is their go-to guy for main events. I think I looked at this the other night. I think he's main evented six events in the past since 2018. I think he's headlined six events. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's
this
crazy.
Will be a six. This will be a six event. Yes. Yeah. So he's their go-to guy. Win or lose. He's coming off a loss, but he's lost three of his last four, yet he's still main eventing events. So this one's back at the UFC Apex. Thiago Santos will be fighting Jamal, don't call me Jamahal Hill. Co-main event's pretty decent fight, if I do say so myself. Vicente Luque versus Jeff Neal. Then we have two of the Ultimate Fighter finale fights for Dan, because no one else watched it but Dan. Zach Pauga versus Mohamed Usman. You may recognize that last name. And then that's for heavyweight. And then women's flyweight, Brogan Walker versus Juliana Miller. Heavyweights, Augusto Sakai versus Sergey Spivak. Ariana Lipsky versus Priscilla Cachuera. That rounds out the main card. And then the prelims, Sam Alvey is back versus Mikhail Oleksiychuk. Did I say it right that time?
Not even close. You also got Paunga wrong too.
It's Paunga.
It's Paunga. Paunga.
There's like the N sound in it. Interesting.
It's got like a weird N sound to it, but yeah, Zach Paunga. And it's Oleksiychuk.
Oh, that's right, Oleksiychuk. Right. Takashi Sato versus Brian Battle, which is good to see Brian Battle back at it. Terrence McKinney, that's good to see him fighting again too. Versus Eric Gonzalez. Jason Witt versus Josh Quinlan. Miranda Granger versus Corey McKenna, and then Myra Bueno Silva versus Stephanie Egger. Anything jump off the screen at you?
I mean, I'm excited. I'm going to tip my hand a little bit. I'm a big fan of how good Zach Paunga has looked. So I'm excited to see what he looks like here. I also, I'm really excited to see Brian Battle fight somebody who is not on the Ultimate Fighter. Also, I don't know how much you guys have followed him on social media, if you're that type, but like, he looks so good physically. He's dropped down to welterweight from 185, and the dude is cut. He's like ripped in like a weird way that people are ripped, which is not expected if you remember seeing him look kind of doughy on the Ultimate Fighter. But he is like a very, very, very cut 170 now. So that should be really interesting to see what he'll be like down a weight class.
We shall see. Dan's checking out all the bods for us so he can let us know in advance who's going to look hot come fight night. So good to see. We should be out of here because we have another episode to get into your ears today. The much ballyhooed Dana White Contender Series episode. So we'll bid you farewell for that. That will be in your ears shortly after you listen to this one. Until then, or actually even after then, SGPN MMA is the spot to go on Twitter. Jeff Fox Writer is for me. He's Gumby Vreeland. And the Discord, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Take us home, Dan, unless there's more to say.
No, I think you got it all. I'm Danny Gumby Vreeland. He's the Venison Wayland Vixen, Jeff Fox, and we will see you in a minute.